Amy versus Brandon. Pop versus News. The inaugural episode. Two.
Well, this is Amy versus Brandon, or Pop versus News. I'm Amy Dammel.
And I'm Brandon Blackburn Dwyer.
And basically, the point of this podcast is
to really try to prove that our style of news or things that we are interested in is the superior one. I love news, as I do, and I love how ridiculous news is, and Amy loves things that are stupid.
I kind of think that your things are going to turn out to be more stupid.
Well, this week I think they are. Now, the big story of the week, of course, is U.S. President Barack Obama's inauguration for his second term. He gave this big speech. It was delayed a day. Here are some highlights of the speech.
Each time we gather to inaugurate a president, we bear witness to the enduring strength of our Constitution. This generation of Americans has been tested by crises that steeled our resolve and proved our resilience. America's possibilities are limitless. My fellow Americans, we are made for this moment, and we will seize it so long as we seize it together. The commitments we make to each other through Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, these things do not sap our initiative, they strengthen us. We will respond to the threat of climate change. We will show the courage to try and resolve our differences with other nations peacefully. Our journey is not complete until our gay brothers and sisters are treated like anyone else under the law. And we cannot afford delay. We cannot mistake absolutism for principle, or substitute spectacle for politics, or treat name-calling as reasoned debate. You and I, as citizens, have the power to set this country's course.
I love that speech, I will say. As a little piece of trivia, though, he is actually only the second president to give his inauguration speech on January 21st. Generally, it has to be on January 20th, and he was sworn in on the 20th. But because the 20th is a Sunday, they actually had to delay the large public celebration until the Monday. The only other president in history to have to do that was Ronald Reagan.
I think it was kind of on purpose because the 21st was MLK Day.
I think it was. It does remind us that President Barack Obama is black, which he then actually said at one point during his speech. He was like, he made some very subtle, not so subtle references to slavery. It was really good, actually. I thought his speech was quite good. I really did. I don't know. He's very fiery. This is the Obama that I wanted in the first term and just didn't get. And he basically called out the Republicans. You heard it in there. He basically was like, do not substitute name calling for actual policy making, which I thought was pretty funny because pretty much he just basically called out the Republicans the same way that he told them not to call it him.
Right.
That's always nice. It's always good. It's always a little bit of, you know, whatnot.
I thought he delivered it with a lot of emotional conviction, which is important.
He did. And instead of highlighting immigration, he chose to highlight the climate and homosexuality.
That was surprising, actually.
Yes.
Because I would not have placed those as, you know, the top things on his priority list?
None on his priority list. I think on a lot of other people's. But I was actually, I mean, hey, look, I'm pretty happy about that. But yeah. I was a little bit surprised. And I'm sure that every conservative person in the United States was like, oh my God, he referenced something that doesn't exist. And those evil people being able to marry.
That was my favorite part, was that he referenced the people who don't believe in climate change.
I know.
And I was like, that is amazing. It made it into an inaugural speech.
Pretty much. And he was like, stop being stupid. That was President Obama's SmackDown time, and SmackDown on the biggest stage he possibly will ever have. Well done.
Yeah, good job, President Obama. But you know what? I was a little disappointed because he didn't have a bejeweled microphone.
He didn't.
But you know who did?
Oh, God.
Katy Perry. Oh. She totally had. She had not only a bejeweled microphone, a bejeweled American flag microphone.
Which, see, that actually I liked. The bejeweled stuff, not so much. But I liked that she looked like a pinup from the 1930s. That was super hot. I was totally into that. She was hot. I thought so.
And her performance? Did you hear any of that?
No? She sings?
Just like all.
She sings?
Yeah.
I thought she just looked good.
Right.
Sort
Brandon's
of.
Not too up on things.
I mean, I know that she sings that song Firework, and I thought that's a good thing for a woman to sing at the inauguration.
And Brandon was just thinking, oh, she's a firework.
She is a firecracker.
Yeah.
She is hot. But what I would say is, what I was concerned about is, she was so hot, but she was not at the inauguration. She was at the kids' ball of the inauguration.
Right, which is where the controversy comes in. A lot of people were criticizing her costume for being too slutty for the kids' inauguration ball.
I can guarantee you that no 13-year-old boy thought that was a problem. I guarantee you, if we polled all the 13-year-old boys at the kids' ball, they'd have been like, what problem? What? She looked good, man. She looked totally hot. And I think that's who we should be worried about. It's for the kids, and
it
I
is
think
for
the kids
liked
it.
And you know what? I bet all the boys liked it, and that's fine.
And inspiring a new generation of semi-slutty young girls. Awesome.
Right. Right. So everybody's happy.
That's good for college students around the world.
But you know what? It wasn't just her Wonder Woman costume that was awesome. She had a miniature version of Aretha Franklin's hat from the 2009 inauguration.
What?
Yeah.
What?
She had it
specially
made.
Wait, did she shrink
made.
Aretha Franklin's head?
She basically...
Because that's a big head.
She basically had it made for, like, you know, a little decoration for her costume. And it looks exactly like Aretha Franklin's hat. If you remember, it was like this gray thing with the most ridiculously large bejeweled bow you've ever seen.
Because she thought she was at, like, the Lexington races? Like, what did she...
It fit in the palm of her hand.
What? Why? Did she say why?
Doesn't matter. It's Katy Perry.
Well, that is
she doesn't
true.
Need a reason.
And that is part of the problem. But she does need a reason to exist, and I'm still waiting for information on that.
You just said she was totally hot and it didn't matter.
Yeah, but is that really an okay reason just to exist? I mean, that is the reason we have Angelina Jolie. But, you know.
All right, let's move on to the next topic. Also has to do with the inauguration.
Was this all about Beyonce here? I think that's the part of the story that I like. I love that we talked about how a great
from
performance.
From one hottie to the next
Barack
one.
Barack Obama went, and Barack Obama is a hottie. I agree with you. Barack Obama being a hottie to Katy Perry being a hottie to Beyonce being so hot and so cool. She's too cool to sing.
Oh, poor Beyonce.
I know.
But you know what? I guess this isn't like that uncommon. People lip sync all the time.
Millie Vanilli.
Yeah, and Ashley Simpson.
Yeah.
They just try not to get caught. And you know what? It could be worse because Christina Aguilera totally fucked up her... What? We can say fucked up.
Oh, that's right. I'm so used to radio. Fuck, piss, bullshit, cock, balls. I forgot. It's an explicit podcast. I'm so used. I'm like, oh my God, the FCC is going to kill it. All right, it's a podcast. Fuck,
right.
Shit, balls,
we
crap.
We can say whatever the fuck
yes,
we want.
Yes, we can. That's fucking awesome.
Right.
I would totally fuck Beyonce. Was that inappropriate?
That was a little too far.
Too far?
Yeah.
She is a mother now. I'm not allowed to be as
she is
as
a mother, and she's married to Jay-Z, and I'm sorry, but you're not competing with that.
He would pay someone to kill me. I actually don't think that Jay-Z would kill me anymore. He's not DMX, but I do think that Jay-Z would pay someone to kill me. Probably 50 Cent.
Fair enough. All right. So here's my play-by-play of Beyonce's lip-syncing or maybe not lip-syncing, because there's still some controversy as to whether or not she actually lip-synced. And there's one point in the song where you can definitely tell it's lip-synced. So it starts off, she's doing pretty great. She gets to the dawn's early light, cuts to Michelle Obama. I love the bangs, by the way.
Oh, God.
And the girls all in their purple.
Talk
so
about
cute.
Another woman that could kick my ass right there. Michelle
right?
Obama.
Also a hottie.
Also a hottie.
Yeah. All right, Twilight's Last Gleaming. Beyonce gives us a stern look. Are we buying this?
Yes, and we are buying that Twilight, the movie, will thankfully finally be over.
Right. All right. Then we get to Ramparts gallantly streaming. Cut to Obama. He's frozen like a gargoyle statue. Very patriotic.
Did you just call our commander-in-chief a gargoyle?
No.
You did.
Can
you
I
did.
Do that? This is a podcast. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
And we're in China because that's the land of freedom. So,
all
you know.
Right. Well, anyway, we get to bombs bursting in air, and then she rips out her earpiece, which is, you know, kind of tipping her hand just a little bit. But as soon as she gets to land of the free, the is like a little bit off if you watch the video.
See, that's that thing, but it's a little bit off. And I would say that usually when they have the earpieces in like that, that actually means they are singing live. Because those are the types that block out other sounds, and so that you can only hear what's coming through the microphone. So you don't hear the reverb, you don't hear the crowd around you and stuff like that. And my friend who does sound, so I was like, hey, look for those earpieces. If they have those in, they're actually singing. If they're not, definitely lip syncing.
So when she pulled
so
it
when
out,
she ripped it out,
definitely lip syncing.
Well, maybe, but the other side is, like, the other argument here, because now everyone's denying this, like, the Marine Band came out and said that she was... And then
they're like, oh, wait,
like,
we weren't supposed to say that.
Yeah, Beyonce's really angry, and Jay-Z will pay someone to kill me. So she was totally singing. But who knows? I mean, the other thing is, singers, if they are getting feedback through that, do sometimes rip them out. And maybe they were hearing other people directing them and stuff like that. I don't know. I think she was lip-syncing watching the video, but I kind of want to give her...
lip-syncing.
That's probably true. Yeah. I want to give her the pen of the
just,
doubt.
Like, watch Jay-Z, it again.
Jay-Z
Land of the Free. The is just a little bit off.
Well,
a little bit off.
Because nothing's free in Beyonce's world. That's really where it's at. You know, can't be
everything's free in Beyonce's world. She's freaking Beyonce. She doesn't pay for drinks or anything.
It's because Jay-Z pays for them.
Right,
which is the whole point of it. No, but I don't know. Like, I think everybody's really hard on her. First of all, Yo-Yo Ma pre-recorded his performance 4 years ago at the inauguration. And I don't hear anybody being like, Yo-Yo Ma is not a real artist. What was he doing pre-recording his cello playing?
Christina Aguilera fucked up the lyrics to the national anthem when she performed at the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. But it was... Oh, see,
so, like, she's a real artist because she sang it live, but, like, couldn't remember any of the words.
And became a national laughingstock. But it was, I think it's Paul Simon that sang at like one of the Super Bowls and didn't just mess up a lyric like Christina Aguilera. He just forgot the entire second verse.
Yeah.
And he even said at the time, he's like I don't know what was happening. Yeah. And he was like, one of my favorite comedians, Eddie Izzard, says like, he's like, if you don't know the words, here's what you do. You just confirm and deny. Your hand goes up, your hand goes down.
Exactly.
And it's just your head, you get the eyes.
And that's why Beyonce had such a stern look, because she was like, I am not confirming or denying, but the ramparts are gallantly streaming.
And I'm not confirming or denying that this is actually my voice singing. Hopefully, hey, look, they're still better than the Chinese, who put a cute little girl on stage and then had another five-year-old girl sing backstage because the other girl that sang was too ugly for cameras.
When you're five, no one's too ugly.
I know,
right?
Exactly. And ugly five-year-olds are cute.
Yeah, because she wasn't starving herself enough.
I guess we can't really compare that to Beyonce, who is super hot. So it's probably a problem. I feel like my entire theme today is there are hot women in the world.
Right. Yes, let's talk about another hot woman, Michelle Obama.
Who again, I referenced earlier, would kick my ass.
Yeah, she had the eye roll heard round the world.
She did, and it was an awesome eye roll. Fantastic.
It was so awesome. And CBS's Inside Edition actually got a professional lip reader to try to figure out what was said by John Boehner that caused her to roll her eyes. And basically, he asked President Obama if he'd had a cigarette before the ceremony, and then he put his hand on Michelle Obama's arm and said, oh, someone won't let you do that.
What?
Basically, he just said, President Obama, you are pussy whipped.
Which is true. Which is probably, look, if you were married to Michelle Obama, would you not be?
Duh.
Again, that woman would kick my ass. And she is awesome. I love Michelle Obama. I think she's very powerful. I think she gets a lot of flack for a lot of things she shouldn't get flack for, frankly. But in this situation, first of all, John Boehner, like, touched her. I think that would have been enough for an eye roll.
Well, you should, like, that was the first time she looked at him, like, kind of crosswise. She was like, why are you touching me?
Bitch, I will stab you. I will back up now. Back away.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not exactly like the Obamas and the Boehners get along super well.
Right.
I mean, wasn't it Boehner that was like quoted as calling, I think, Senator Harry Reid an asshole in the during the debt ceiling negotiations, during the sequester negotiations on like when they were negotiating to like 11:30 at night, literally on December 31st. Basically, at one point. Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, like walked in after they were making a deal, and like Boehner is reported to like across a room. Be like, you're an asshole. And Reed was like, excuse me? And he was like, you heard me. You're an asshole. And then just stormed away.
Does that man just not think anyone reports what he does or like films it?
Does that man have no civility? Frankly, does he have a brain considering how well he runs the House of Representatives? But,
political.
Yeah. I'm a little hostile. I am. But that was a great eye roll. And I give her more power to it. And if she stopped Obama from smoking, good. You shouldn't be smoking, people.
Right.
Sorry.
Because we have enough pollution in China for all of us.
Yeah. If you want to damage your lungs, come hang out with us. We know how to do it right. We just breathe in and out in China. It's ridiculous. But now, talking about other speeches here, after a very long wait, it seems David Cameron finally got his act together and gave enough of a speech that enraged pretty much everybody. In a speech, he is promising a public referendum on the future relationship between the United Kingdom and the European Union. So let's listen to a brief excerpt.
It will be an in-out referendum. Legislation will be drafted before the next election, and if a Conservative government is elected, we will introduce the enabling legislation immediately and pass it by the end of that year, and we will complete this negotiation and hold this referendum within the first half of the next Parliament. It is time for the British people to have their say. It is time for us to settle this question about Britain and Europe.
Now, what's important to note about that speech here is that Cameron's actually saying the following. One, re-elect me in 2015. That was the real key message of this speech, by the way. Two, then, after I'm re-elected, I will renegotiate our situation with the European Union. Then you can vote after I've renegotiated if you really want to stay in the EU in the new way that I've renegotiated.
So when's this all going to wrap up?
By 2017. So really sometime in the future when David Cameron's no longer running the United Kingdom.
Right, and probably they won't actually end up voting on.
No, well, first of all, I don't think this referendum is going to happen at all because I don't think David Cameron's going to get reelected in 2015. Mm. He's already down in the polls. Further, it was like a competition across Europe to have the funniest response to David Cameron's speech. Everyone knew for weeks that this speech was happening. I swear there were speechwriters being like, oh, what can we do as a joke here? What can we do? One Eurozone diplomat was like, quoted as saying, the speech reminded me of someone picking a daisy saying, now I love you, now I don't.
I really like the one from the French Foreign foreign minister, if Britain wants to leave Europe, we will roll out the red carpet for you.
Yeah, which is great. And they're like, really? Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Have a good time. See ya. Yeah. Have a good one. Have a good one.
We don't actually need you. We're doing just fine without you.
Well, I'm not... let's not go that far. First of all, the European Union can never say it's doing just fine. And France should really never say that it doesn't need Britain. Really?
Right.
Really? World War One? World War Two? Really?
You still bringing that up, Brandon?
Of course. Because France has yet to win a war on its own. Ever. Let's look at Mali. France not winning right now, and they're not there on their own.
Which is kind of, I feel like the world is setting up to just, like, backhand France right now.
It is. And we're really good for that. But this EU speech is just out of control. David Cameron running for office in 2015, not realizing that apparently it's only 2013 now, promising the moon and promising to renegotiate a treaty that functionally they're not allowed to renegotiate. That's why all of Europe's like, but dude, you're not allowed to just randomly be like, oh, I want to do this and I don't want to do that. This is a treaty that everyone's supposed to be equal under. So it's not going to go anywhere. Like this, the whole thing is just ridiculous. David Cameron being a ridiculous human being. But talking about Mali here, in France, French troops and Malian government troops continue to battle Islamists and terrorists. This is where France is really just being set up to being killed here.
Right.
In response to this crisis, terrorists struck a gas plant in Algeria. And in response to that, the oh-so-brave UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon had this to say.
I applaud France for its courageous decision to deploy troops. But let there be no doubt, we are firmly committed to helping Mali in its hour of need. Directly assisting offensive military actions would also place our civilian personnel in the region in jeopardy.
Now, listening to that quote, what you have to understand here, once again, the highlight here is he's apparently saying it's really good the United Nations approved military intervention in Mali. It's really good that African Union troops are going into Mali and the French troops are already in Mali. But the UN, as much as we approve of all of this, we're not actually going to help you at all.
Do you think that in his head he's actually thinking like, okay, trap set, France is in there, all right, it worked.
I think he is. I don't know why he would be so angry at France, but apparently he is.
I mean, who isn't angry at France a little bit?
That's true. Well, they had the big noxious cloud. Maybe that's why the UK is really leaving the EU. They had the big noxious cloud that like came up out of a factory in France this week, and that drifted over and smelled
noxious
like rotten
clouds
eggs.
Don't faze me anymore. I live in China.
That's true. I think actually what happened is we just shipped some air there. China was like, well, we export everything else. We could export this air. We'll just tell the French it's stinky cheese.
And they're so smug with their cheese and their baguettes and their berets and striped shirts and stuff. See, this is why we want them
to get killed in Mali. I like that. They're fighting terrorists. And the UN really, I think they just put up a white flag. Not only does the UN often surrender, but for the UN Secretary General to say to the terrorists, by the way, terrorists who are attacking random French installations to punish the French for intervening in Mali, we too will not go into Mali because we're so terrified of you, we won't get involved. Terrorists win. That's Ban Ki-moon just like put up a scoreboard and he was like, UN 0, terrorists 10. Like, how can they possibly do that?
It was a mistake.
It really was.
Speaking of mistakes, someone else made a big mistake over the last 10 years and finally came out about it. Lance Armstrong. If you are going to admit to doing something terribly, terribly wrong that has actually been the linchpin of the success of your career, who are you going to go to when you confess?
I think the greatest interviewer of all time.
Oprah.
Of course. Cry on Oprah's couch. Though he did sit in a chair. I was a little disappointed in that. I thought there'd be a couch. I thought there'd be some like head patting and stroking.
Yeah. Verbal head patting and stroking.
There was. And you know what? Oprah did a really nice job. She really did a nice job. Here's my favorite section of it where she actually puts him in a yes and no section. Listen to this.
Did you ever take banned substances to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
Yes or no? Was one of those banned substances EPO?
Yes.
Did you ever blood dope or use blood transfusions to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
Did you ever use any other banned substances like testosterone, cortisone, or human growth hormone?
Yes.
Yes or no? In all seven of your Tour de France victories, did you ever take banned substances or blood dope?
Yes.
In your opinion, was it humanly possible to win the Tour de France without doping 7 times in a row?
Not in my opinion.
I love it. She's like, did you dope? Yes. Did you dope with this? Yes.
Yes.
Did you dope with that?
Yes.
Yeah. Woman, I just said yes. Why? Do you have to list them? Well, I have a scientist in the back, and he's telling me. Testosterone. Human growth hormone.
Yes.
Aren't you impressed that I know these words?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And then I love the only one that he says no to. Could you actually have won these without the doping? No.
No.
Which is probably true.
I am a huge fraud. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry that I'm about to be sued by literally
everyone on the planet is now like joining in different lawsuits to take all this money back from Lance Armstrong.
Well, some of them have real justification because Lance Armstrong spent much of the last 10 years suing other people that accused him of doping.
Yeah, this was part of that whole like ring of
doping.
Dopers that he was controlling, and
but he had the audacity to sue people for lying and took damages from them, and now and now he's like, oh, why is everybody suing me? Why? Because you sued. This is the way it works in America, Lance. I'm sorry. I know that you're a Texan and maybe you think you're in a different country, but no, this is how it works in America. People sue each other.
But like, also, I kind of think that he should be sued. I mean, like, he should lose everything. Everything that he has right now was built on a lie.
That's true, but a lie in a sport, I don't excuse what he did, but...
What? A lie in a sport?
No, a lie in a sport that notably, of the last 14 years of winners at the Tour de France, 12 of the last 14 years worth of winners have been brought down and stripped of their titles because of doping.
And this is why we need an anti-doping association.
And we have one of those, but this is also why they should just admit that cycling is a ridiculous sport.
Have they all confessed that it was Lance Armstrong that forced them to dope?
No, but some of them did. Landis did, the guy that got off for basically indicting Lance Armstrong. It's always nice. It's always nice to get
so retroactively, all of those 12 of the 14 should just say, Lance Armstrong made me do it.
Yeah. Which I think that will now be my excuse for anything.
Lance Armstrong made me do it.
He is a bad person.
He pressured me into doing it.
And he was a role model.
Couldn't say no.
He told me to heal myself.
He pressured me into doing it.
And dope.
That
was what it was.
From Lance Armstrong.
But talking about pressure here, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton faced accusations of incompetence and lying to the public by senators this week, apparently ignoring the fact that a U.S. Senate ambassador and three other Americans died in the attack. The bulk of the six-hour questioning on this attack on a U.S. mission in Benghazi, Libya, focused on statements by the U.N. ambassador Susan Rice. Notably, not statements by Hillary Clinton, but by statements from the U.N. ambassador Susan Rice that initially blamed the attack on protesters. Now, we all know, of course, like all good Republicans know, that the real culprits behind this was Al-Qaeda, who is responsible for everything that has ever happened bad in the world, and we should have known that automatically. Let's forget that there was
Bin Laden sucks.
Three other countries that had protests that turned violent, and this was the only one that Al-Qaeda was linked to.
This is making me so nervous that I want to do what was, I think, Hillary Clinton's Hail Mary, just cry.
She did just cry. Now, I don't have a clip of her crying, but I love this response. This was her very combative response to the senators after they just, like, for the 15th time were like, but don't you think it's important that you told us that protesters are behind this? This was her response.
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
I love it. She's like, wait, people are dead. When a person has to remind senators that a U.S.
people
ambassador
are dead.
Died.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
People are dead.
People are dead. Can we focus on the security lapses? Now, she did take responsibility in theory for the security lapses, and here was this.
I take responsibility, and nobody is more committed to getting this right. I am determined to leave the State Department and our country safer, stronger, and more secure.
Now, I love...
Was that before or after she cried?
Let's
focus on the crying part.
Oh, you love the crying.
I do love the crying, because when Hillary cries, it's like showing this emotion that nobody knew she had deep down inside of her.
That's because she had to bury it. The last time she wanted to cry in public, Monica Lewinsky had just given her husband a blowjob.
That was not the last time she cried in public. During the primaries, she cried in public, and it actually helped her.
Oh, it did. That's right. But she cried because people were like, how do you keep going even though everyone hates you?
And she was like, oh, people think I'm a cold-hearted bitch. I better, like, squeeze out some tears.
the little sponge. Squeeze on my cheeks.
Right? Yeah.
I think that's it. I noticed she only cries when she wears glasses. I think that there's a conspiracy theory there.
Oh, yeah. Do you think she's got like one of those like CIA mechanisms that like shoots tears into her eyes and then they stream down her face?
I don't know, but if they can afford that, they probably could afford a few more guards at the Benghazi Libya mission.
Well, maybe she should be on trial then.
No, but here's the thing. This is what really annoyed me about this really quick, that the senators focused on these statements and ignored that the U.S. Congress had actually cut funding for security at places like the mission in Benghazi. So they had actually cut it. They'd also mandated that private security, not military, be involved in securing it. The private security company was found to have provided less security guards than they were supposed to, and to have left the gate open the night of the attack. But of course it's all Hillary Clinton's fault and Susan Rice's fault. It's got nothing to do with military contractors.
It's much simpler that way, Brandon.
It is, and it's much more politically astute.
Well, let's go on to our next topic, which is not very politically astute. There was a really confusing interview with Prince Harry this week where he talks about video games but also killing people.
Which hey, I mean, he is the NRA poster boy at this point. They keep saying that it's not guns that kill people, it's video games. And I think Prince Harry actually was like, yeah, I'm going to get on board with that. That's what he said. Let's listen to what he said here. There's a couple of ones. He was responding to what, when he was asked, like, well, how was your second tour of duty in Afghanistan here?
The joy for me, because I'm one of those people that love playing PlayStation and Xbox. So with my thumbs, I like to think that I'm probably quite useful.
So yes, there he was sort of saying, like,
it's a joy to kill people.
Like, yeah, kind of, I think. But here's the real funny part.
You know what? I wonder if they have like the duck hunt gun as part of the training. Like, is that part of the?
Wow.
No.
I think the duck hunt gun is actually in the helicopter that he flies.
And then the terrorists come out like the ducks in Duck Hunt.
Kinda. I don't know. It's terrible. I mean, it's terrible. I cannot believe this, but I actually agreed with the Taliban spokesperson this week. A Taliban spokesperson came out and said, I think Prince Harry is mentally unbalanced for comparing killing people to a video game. I have to be kind of on the same route.
Brandon's a terrorist.
What?
Brandon's a terrorist.
What?
Wait, terrorist.
Because I said, oh.
He just said he agrees with the Taliban.
See, and the Taliban's linked to Al-Qaeda, which we know is behind all things bad. And
right.
So because I've said something somewhat positive in relation to a sentence that included the words Al-Qaeda, I must be a terrorist, and I must be related to Hillary Clinton.
Terrorist.
Because that's what they keep saying. That's what
right.
they keep saying.
You should start crying now.
I should. I should cry. But I don't have a Muslim chief of staff that a Republican senator can blast in the middle of a hearing.
Speaking of blasts, let's end the show on something super awesome. North Korea. Oh.
Always fun times with North Korea. And North Korea just keeping the hijinks up in the Wile E. Coyote version of international relations here. Surprising absolutely no one, North Korea has announced they are moving forward with a nuclear test.
But I love that they're like, because the UN decided that we should not do this, we're going to do it.
Right, as if they weren't going to do it anyway. They're like, how dare you, UN, pass a resolution that has no new sanctions in it,
right,
that told me not to have a nuclear test. I'm going to say, that's a good idea, UN. I'm totally going to have one of those.
We might have to shoot two or three rockets before we get one off the ground, but
they terrifyingly got one off the ground, finally. Yeah. I know the one before that didn't nearly make it very much, fairly to launch and all, but a little terrifying, a little good.
Yeah, okay, but so if that was their, like, rocket launch, what about their nuclear program? Like, because you don't really get a second chance at that.
No, but they have what? This will be the third nuclear test. 2006, 2009, and this one, apparently. But in nuclear tests, they, in theory, do them underground.
Right.
So, you know, they
so
could
when
just...
they fail?
We don't like to say the word fail a nuclear test in the same sentence.
I'm saying. You don't get a second chance if you fail your nuclear test.
But see, the problem with nuclear tests is that failing is actually succeeding on some level, because failing, in my mind, would be like blowing everyone that was involved in the test up. But then someone not at the test, I would be like, see? We have a bomb that can kill lots of people.
So if North Korea fails in their nuclear test and blows the whole country up, everyone wins.
Well, not everyone. A whole lot of innocent civilians would be killed.
Except for them.
Yeah, except for those people. And we would have to make sure that Kim Jong-un was actually in the country. But again, that's really the ironic thing, because if they actually fail in the sense that they fail to ignite a nuclear test, then they basically just get to tell the world, nope, we didn't have a test today. Sorry, that's tomorrow. Look, so I don't know. I hope we don't kill anybody.
Communist politics.
And Kim Jong-un politics, because it's a special kind of politics. And here to finish this out, some sounds of North Korean rockets launching. Not all of them will actually be North Korean rockets, but we wanted to inspire them by giving them some sounds of what actually successful rocket launches do sound like. Enjoy it. We know we will.
Footnote, I don't think any of these are actually North Korean rockets.
Probably not. One.